إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار اما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته All praise, thanks and adoration are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whom without partners we ask for His mercies and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his family and companions and all those who call to their path and follow their guidance until the day of reckoning. Today is the 13th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina, which is equivalent to the 2nd of March 2026. Today, inshallah, we'll be commencing the tafsir of the glorious Quran from chapter 2, verse 144, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 144, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطره وإن الذين أوتوا الكتاب ليعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وما الله بغافل عما يعملون ولئن أتيت الذين أوتوا الكتاب بكل آية ما تبعوا قبلتك وما أنت بتابع قبلتهم وما بعضهم بتابع قبلة بعض ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم من بعد ما جاءك من العلم إنك إذا لمن الظالمين الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم وإن فريقا منهم ليكتمون الحق وهم يعلمون الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين ولكل وجهة هو موليها فاتبقوا الخيرات أينما تكونوا يأت بكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وإنه للحق من ربك وما الله بغافل عما تعملون ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيث ما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطره لئلا يكون للناس عليكم حجة إلا الذين ظلموا منهم فلا تخشوهم واخشوني ولأتم نعمتي عليكم ولعلكم تهتدون كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
We have mentioned before now that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as the direction of prayer is concerned, was made to face Masjid al-Aqsa. Then when he migrated to the city of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to face Masjid al-Aqsa for about 16 to 17 months. And while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing the direction of Masjid al-Aqsa, the Prophet prayed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn him back to Masjid al-Haram. So the Prophet continued to long for that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him to go back to facing the Kaaba. So Allah said, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ بِالسَّمَاءِ. Indeed, we have seen the turning of your face, بِالسَّمَاءِ, towards the heavens. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَوْهَا. We are surely going to turn your face towards a direction that you will be pleased with. فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Therefore, turn your face towards the direction of the sacred mosque. وَحَيْكُمَا كُنْتُمْ. And wherever you might be, فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Turn your faces towards it. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And indeed, those that were given the scripture, the people of the book, are very much aware, أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, that it is the truth from their Lord. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what they do. Al-Imam ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said the first abrogation that occurred in the Sharia of Islam is that for changing the direction of prayer of the Muslims. That was the first abrogation that happened as far as our Sharia is concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that anybody that wants to observe Salah must face the Kaaba, wherever that person might be. This is because that is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had longed for, considering the Kaaba as the Qibla of Nabiullah Ibrahim and the house he built. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continued to look up. And this is to affirm the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in man that inbuilt feeling to know that his Lord and Creator is high above him. And that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he wanted something from Allah, he looked up. Because he knows, and Allah made him to know, and Allah made every single creature to believe and to have that feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above them and not everywhere. And that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continues to look up. Allah says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Because he knows that revelation comes from up and not from everywhere. So this is one of the evidences that will prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. And this is an inbuilt trait in man. This is an inbuilt trait in man. Aside from the fact that Allah has mentioned it in several verses of the Quran, that He is above the heavens and there is nothing above Him, who al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-baqi, and the Prophet translated it as al-zahir, He is the one that is above wa laysa fawqahu shay'un. There is nothing above Him. So it's very clear from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all the creatures and there is no creature above Him. And in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man and other creatures to even know that He is high above them. And that is why there is nobody that wants something from Allah and calls on Allah except that his mind moves towards the sky, towards above, and not just randomly everywhere. Allah said, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We have seen the turning of your face, فِي السَّمَاءِ, towards the sky, towards the heaven. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَوْهَا. Will make you to turn towards a direction that you'll be pleased with. Meaning the Prophet wanted, he would be pleased to turn الكعبة. So Allah said, فَوَجْلِي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So therefore, turn your face towards Al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque, which is Kaaba. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ أَوْ wherever you might be, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. This is an instruction to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, an instruction to the Muslim generality. The Prophet gave, Allah gave the Prophet an instruction, وَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Then he said, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ أَوْ wherever you might be, you the companions, you the Muslims, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Turn your faces towards its direction. And this is where the scholars of Malikiya, this is the evidence they use to show that a person that is observing Salah is expected to raise his head up and face the Qibla and not looking at where he was prostrate. They don't consider the hadith that came in that line that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would bend his head and focus on where he is going to prostrate. The Maliki school of thought opines that this verse of the Quran, وَحَيْتُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ, means the person's face is supposed to be up facing the Qibla. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those that were given the book, the scripture, the Yahud, the Nasara, they all know that it is truly the fact. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what they do. Allah is not unaware of all they do, of the schisms, the plots, and the ambiguities they raise with respect to the Prophet's moving from facing Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram. They have said so many things concerning that, which we are going to be talking about later, inshallah ta'ala. So this verse is establishing the fact that for one to observe Salah, wherever he might be, he must face Masjid al-Haram. The direction of Salah is Masjid al-Haram, except in a few exceptional cases. One of which is a person who is traveling and he's observing his nafila upon his right. Such a person is allowed to face anywhere while his heart faces the Qibla. This is one of the exceptions, like we have mentioned before now. As far as the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is concerned, he said he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returning from the city of Mecca, approaching Medina, and the Prophet was observing his nafila upon his right. So that is an exceptional case for anyone who is in that situation. Another exceptional case is people who are observing jihad in the cause of Allah in the battlefield. They also can be observing their salat without physically facing the Qibla when they are in the battlefield. They can observe their salat while they fight in any situation to establish the gravity and the greatness of salat, that at no point in time are people allowed not to pray within the stipulated time for salah. So these are some of the few exceptions that there are. The third exception is a person that mistakenly prayed towards other than the Qibla without knowing, having made so much effort to know where the Qibla is. And he observed his salah, finally not facing the Qibla, his salah is also accepted. These are the three exceptional cases that the scholars have mentioned that one must not, as a matter of condition, face the Qibla to observe his salah. Now.
وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ وَمَا بَعْضُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَةَ بَعْضٍ ولئن اتبعت هواك من بعد ما جاءك من العلم انك اذا لمن الظالمين.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with respect to what the people of the scripture are saying. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, as well as his companions, were somehow in a fix because of what was said about the turning of the Qibla. The Yahud, who were happy with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam facing their Qibla, because Masjid al-Aqsa is the Qibla of the Jews. So they were happy the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was facing the Masjid al-Aqsa during his salah. So they were saying, yes, he is facing our Qibla today, tomorrow he is going to return to our religion. Yes, physically today he is with us, tomorrow he is going to be part of us spiritually. And the people of Mecca were also attacking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying he claimed that he was upon the path of Nabi Allah Ibrahim, yet he is facing Masjid al-Aqsa and he is not facing the house Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam built. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to turn towards Masjid al-Haram, it became a field of attack. They made so many propaganda. Quraysh said, if he claimed that he was upon the religion of Ibrahim while he was facing Masjid al-Aqsa, then why is he now facing Masjid al-Haram? Why is he now facing Masjid al-Haram? And so there are so many attacks. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ. It was something that was heavy upon the companions to comply with, because there were so many propaganda. There were so many propaganda as far as the Qibla was concerned. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ. If you were to come to the people of the book, بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ, with every sign, بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ, with every verse, بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ, with every miracle, مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. They will not follow your direction of prayer. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُ. And you will also not follow their direction of prayer. وَمَا بَعْضُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَةَ بَعْضٍ. And some of them will also not follow the prayer direction of others. They will not follow the prayer directions of one another. The Christians will not follow that of the Jews will not follow that of the Christians. You also will not follow theirs. وَلَيْنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. And if you should follow their desire, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, after what has come to you of knowledge, إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Indeed, you have become one of the zalimun, one of the wrongdoers, one of the polytheists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, of course, the statement is directed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is a message to his followers. Because Allah knows his prophets will not follow their desire, but it is to make his companions know that they are not expected to follow the desire of those who have been given the scriptures. So وَمَا أَنْزَ لِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. It shows that every nation has their clear direction. Just like it is going to be mentioned later, وَلِكُلِّ مُوِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. Every nation has been given a clear direction. We have been given our clear direction to the Kaaba, and so we are not expected to follow that of any other community or society or religious belief. So Allah said, if you follow them, وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ. It is not about you proving to them that where you are proving is from Allah. No, no matter the amount of proof you provide to them, they will still not follow you. And so, like we have mentioned before now, it is not about the number of evidences. There are those who will not just agree with you, no matter how clear your points are, no matter how truthful you are, no matter the amount of proofs you are able to provide, they will still not believe in your cause. That Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those upon whom the wrath of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has been established will not believe. وَلَوْ جَاءَتْكُمْ كُلُّ آيَةٍ حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. Even all the evidences are provided to them, they will still not believe. So that is one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us to understand concerning that it is not about following the proof, it is about taking a position and rejecting all proofs that will come establishing other than what they believe in. So it is proven here that all of these nations have their own clear, and we also have ours, and we are expected to follow our own Qibla. And this is also a message to the people of knowledge that they must abide by the truth, and they must not allow the propaganda of people to mold their opinions. The truth must stand on its own, and the truth must be followed. The truth should not be bent to suit the whims and caprices of people. That's why Allah said, وَلَئِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. You already know the truth, so let not the truth follow falsehood. وَلَئِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, after what has come to you of knowledge. Allah said, إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then you become one of the zalimun. So the truth must be upright, the truth must be followed. He said, وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. If the truth were to be followed, the whims and caprices and desires of people, everything in the heavens and the earth and what is contained in them would have been corrupted. So corruption is when people allow the truth to follow the desires of men. It is the truth that must be followed. People should be called to follow the truth. Unlike what we see today, that people want to always follow the crowd. They have fans, they have supporters, they have followers, and they don't want to say what would offend the followers. And they don't want to do something that would make the followers to become disappointed in them. So the truth would always be bent to suit what the followers want. Those who do that based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, they are the zalimun. And that is why, like Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, he said, وَحَلْ أَفْسَدَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْغُرُورُ وَأَحْبَارُ سُوءٍ وَرُبَانَهَا. There is nothing that has tarnished the image of the religion other than the kings. And the evil scholars that would use the truth to suit the whims and caprices of the leaders. So it is a warning against those who do that. Now,
الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم وإن فريقا منهم ليكتمون الحق وهم يعلمون الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين.
الذين آتيناهم الكتاب, those that we have given the scripture, يعرفونه, they know him very well, كما يعرفون أبناءهم, the way they know their children. وإن فريقا منهم, but there is a party of them, لا يكتمون الحق, who would conceal the truth, وهم يعلمون, while they know, they knowingly conceal the truth. الحق من ربك, these that we have mentioned to you is the truth from your Lord. فلا تكونن من الممترين, so do not be from amongst those who doubt. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah ibn Salam, he said, أَتَعْرِفُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَمَا تَعْرِفُ وَلَدَكَ إِبْنَكَ. Umar said to Abdullah ibn Salam, Abdullah ibn Salam was a Jew that embraced Islam. And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was trying to confirm the statement of Allah, that while you were amongst them, أتعرف محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do you used to know Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم كما تعرف ولدك ابنك. Do you know your child, who is your son? قال نعم وأكثر. He said, yes, I know Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do you, I know my son. In fact, I know him more than I know my son. He said, نزل الأمين من السماء على الأمين. The trustworthy one from the heavens came down to the trustworthy one on earth. في الأرض, to the earth, بِنَعْتِهِ, with his descriptions, فَعَرَفْتُهُ, so I know him based on that trust. وَإِبْنِي, but as for my son, لَا أَدْرِي مَا كَانِ مِنْ أُمِّهِ, I don't know what happened between his mother and him. Meaning, I believe more in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said than what I see physically that is claimed to be mine. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a message from the trustworthy one, and it was brought to the trustworthy one. Meaning, it came from Jibreel to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is an unbroken chain. We believe in that statement more than we believe in what we see. Because وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. No one can be more truthful than Allah. It is just unfortunate that many people do not value the words of Allah as they value the words of men. Abdullah ibn Salam said, I know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam more than I even know my children. So الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, this is a confirmation and a testimony that those that were given the scripture, those that knew the scripture, يَعْرِفُونَهُ, they know him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, the way they are able to distinguish between their children and other children that are not theirs. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمْ, it is just that the party of them, لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقُّ, will always conceal the truth. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, why they know that it is the truth. When Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, he was considered to be the most learned of all the Jews of Medina. He was considered to be the most learned. And when he embraced Islam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to ask the Jews of whom I am amongst them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will do that. He called the Jews. And Abdullah ibn Salam hid somewhere. when he came, when they came to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who is Abdullah ibn Salam amongst you?" They said, "Sayyiduna wa ibn Sayyidina, A'lamuna wa ibn A'lamina." He is the leader. He is our leader and the son of our leader. He is the most knowledgeable amongst us, the son of the most knowledgeable amongst us. He is Khayruna ibn Khayrina. He is the best of us and the son of the best of us. The Prophet said, "What if he embraces Islam today and accepts me as the Prophet?" They said, "Hashahu. God forbid him that he embraces Islam." And Abdullah ibn Salam came out and said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no deity in this world of worship truth except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." And immediately the whole thing changed. He said, "Sharruna wa bin sharrina." He is the worst of us, the son of the worst of us. "Ajhaluna wa bin ajhalina." He is the most ignorant amongst us and the son of the most ignorant amongst us. So, وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقِّ. We have a party of them that will conceal the truth, no matter how glaring. And this is what we, so if we know the people that are like this with the Prophet of Allah, when revelation will be revealed, you shouldn't expect less from their offspring because they are upon the same pattern and religion. You shouldn't expect less. These are people that will always, you will see the truth and they will say, "That is not the truth." The world will claim it is the truth and they will say it is not the truth, and they want the world to believe that what they see is what it is, even when the world knows that it is not so. But then, who cares? وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. The truth, this is the truth from your Lord. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Do not be amongst those who doubt. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, whether of the past, the present, or the future, لَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Do not be amongst those who doubt Allah's words. It is a message to the Prophet alayhi salam. It is a statement to the Prophet alayhi salam, but a message to the Ummah that they must take and buy the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consider it to be truth. When a contrary thing comes, they should say, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ قَدْ نَبَّأَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ. We cannot believe in something contrary when Allah has told us about you. But unfortunately, today the Muslims find it difficult to believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran and what the Prophet has said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when other people speak contrary to what is contained in the Quran and Hadith. So, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Do not be from amongst those who doubt. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٍ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا.
وَلِكُلٍّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاتَّبِعُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
الله تعالى ولكل وجهة هو موليها. As far as the direction of prayer is concerned, لكل وجهة. Every community, every nation, every religion has a direction. هو موليها. That they follow. The هو here is going back to كل. Huwa muwalliha, they are the ones that will face that direction. While some say huwa muwalliha, it is Allah that leads them to turn to that direction. But the most popular opinion is that huwa muwalliha, they face that direction. Allah said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So hurry on to doing all that is good. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. Wherever you may be, يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Allah will bring all of you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ability to do all things. Like we have mentioned before now, this is also a tariq, that nations have their qibla. When people do not have qibla, it shows the ignorance they have concerning their religion. But of course, they have a place they face. Every nation, every place of worship must face a particular direction in their worship. The Muslims all over the world, right from the beginning, right from the world, who have always been consistent as far as the Qibla is concerned. It has never changed. The Yahud are the same thing. They have also faced their Qibla. And that is where they pray. That is the direction of their prayer. But the Nasara today, unfortunately, have lost direction. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hurry up. Race. Be fast in doing every good thing. Whatever good you want to do, try to do it as soon as it is possible for you to do. That is فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. wherever you may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you all together. After you are dead, you have crumbled, decayed, decomposed, like the unbelievers would ask, أَيْذَا لِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْخُ جُرَابٌ أَوْ عَجِيبٌ أَيْذَا لِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا ذَلِكَ رَجُعٌ بَعِيدٌ. When we die, are we turned into dust? Are we going to be brought back? That is going to be an impossible mission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we know what the heart has reduced of them. So everything is going to be brought back on the day of judgment. So he said, Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Verily Allah has ability to do everything. And this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to give the Muslims that solace that they have someone to rely on, they have someone to depend on, they have someone that will always be there for them. Because the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no boundary or limit. He has ability to do all things. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ
فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وحيث ما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطره لئلا يكون للناس عليكم حجة إلا الذين ظلموا منهم فلا تخشوهم واخشوني ولأتم نعمتي عليكم ولعلكم تهتدون.
Now an empathy comes again, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ. I'm from wherever you have come out, you have sent forth. فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Turn your face towards the sacred mosque. From wherever you have come out. وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. And that instruction is the truth from your Lord. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And your Lord is not unmindful. Allah is not unmindful of what you do. Then the third empathy comes. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ. And from wherever you come out, فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Turn your face towards the sacred mosque. وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ. And wherever you may be, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Turn your faces towards this direction. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. So that people don't have any evidences against you. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. Except those that are wrongdoers from amongst them. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ. So do not fear them. وَخْشَوْنِي. Fear me. وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ. And I have done these for me to perfect my favors upon you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْذَرُونَ. So that you might be guided. The scholars have asked, why are these emphases? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ in three different places. Three instructions. The first is the one we read, قَدْنَ رَوَ تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That is an instruction. Then here he said, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Then in the next verse, the one, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So the scholar said, why are these emphases like this? And some said, perhaps it is because it is the first abrogation that happened in Islam. And that is why the emphasis we are so much, so that they would comply with that instruction to face Masjid al-Haram. That is one of the opinions of some scholars. Some scholars said, these verses were revealed in different situations. And all of these situations are pointing towards one thing, that you must face the Qibla, irrespective of where you are. That's another opinion. While some other scholars feel that the three verses are at different situations and they offer different meanings. The first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned there that the Qibla, which is Masjid al-Haram, is what the Prophet is pleased with. That is what Allah established there. That the Prophet wanted it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it from there. So it is to establish the Prophet's law for wanting to face the Kaaba. Then this second ayah, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكِ. It is to show also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with that. That Allah wants to affirm that what the Prophet loves is in conformity with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And that's why he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكِ. It is also the truth from your Lord. Then the third one, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْحَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Allah mentioned, يَا يُذَلْ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. Allah has done that in order for people not to have any evidence against you. So that people don't come to say, you are not consistent. You are just guessing and making, you just move towards the direction you want to face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use this to confirm to them that it's Allah that is asking you to do it. So irrespective of where you face, whether you have faced the Qibla, whether you have faced Mashriq, the Maghrib, the East, the West, the South, the North, wherever you have faced, it is Allah that is giving you the instruction. So nobody will give an excuse that you don't know what you are doing. So this is an anti-propaganda. The third one is to counter the propaganda of those who say they are not inconsistent, and those who say they will soon come back to join their religion, and those who are saying why we are facing the Masjid al-Aqsa if truly they are upon the religion of Nabiullah Ibrahim. So it is to serve as a counter, and that is why Allah said, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِ. Do not fear them. Do not fear their propaganda. Do not fear what they say about you. وَخْشَوْنِ. Rather be concerned about me and my laws, the Sharia, the legislation I make to you. Which means, whenever people make propaganda about Islam, we shouldn't allow that to discourage us. But like I show, do not fear what they say about you. Do not fear what they say about Islam. Do not fear what they say about your religion and your faith. وَخْشَوْنِ. Rather be bothered about my legislation. وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَةِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And I have also done this in order for me to complete my favors upon you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ. And so that you might be guided to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, which other nations could not get. That.
كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُم مَّا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِ.
صلى الله عليه كما أرسلنا إليكم رسولا. We remember نبي الله إبراهيم when Allah told us about him. He said, ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا. يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم. That is the prayer of نبي الله إبراهيم. Raise amid them a messenger from amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that prayer. So Allah now reminded the believers of that favor he did to them. He said, كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا. Just like the way we sent fikum amidst you, rasulan, a messenger, minkum, from amongst you, yatlu alaykum ayatina. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked, that messenger was reciting our verses to you, wa yuzakkikum, and was purifying you, wa yuallimukum al-kitab wal-hikmah, and he was teaching you the book and the wisdom, which is the hadith. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And he was teaching you what you do not know. Raising the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is one of the greatest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has showed his bounties, he has shown favors to the believers. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. When he raised for them a messenger from amongst them, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. That will be reciting Allah's verses to them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ.
بذكر فيندم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة يبتشن دبقب الله أنه يبتشن دب الحديث وإن كانوا من قبل في ضلال مبين even when they are in a manifest error before his coming. So the coming of the Prophet is a great favor. And one of the things the Prophet does, and the greatest favor, is that يعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. He teaches them the book and he teaches them the hadith. The Quran and Sunnah are the greatest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Quran is the greatest miracle that the Prophet brought. In it we have guidance, in it we have solutions to our problem. If only the Muslims would hold on to the teachings of the Quran. If only the Muslims would get their sources of guidance from the Quran. If only the Muslims would get their sources of inspiration from the Quran. If only the Muslims would get solutions, find their solutions in the Quran, the world would have been a better place for the Muslims. But we have neglected the book. The solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us, the Quran, we have left. We think the Quran is just more about a book that will be read to get rewards. That you just read the book and you get rewards. Muslims today, most Muslims today don't feel the Quran is a cure to their illness. They don't understand that the Quran is a solution to their problems. They don't see the Quran as a way of life that will make them lead a good life. They feel it is just a book that we read and we get rewards. But it's supposed to be a cure for spiritual problems, spiritual illness. It is supposed to be a cure for physical illness. It is supposed to be a solution to problems. When Allah says, Allah said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. There is a deep meaning embedded in it. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل. If we had revealed the Quran upon a mountain, لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. It will have been humbled, it will have broken down out of the fear of Allah. It means there is no amount of problem that you attack with the Quran that will stand in the face of the Quran. Any problem you have, you can solve your problem with the Quran, even if it is as big as a mountain. You have solution in the Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنَ سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتُ. It would have been this Quran. لَكَانَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. If there were a book that can be used to make the dead leave, to make mountains move, to split the earth, it would have been this Quran. The power in the Quran is so much. So Allah sent the messenger, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches people the book and he teaches them the hadith. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So he teaches them مَا لَمْ تَقُولُوا تَعْلَمُوا. He teaches you also what you don't know. فَذْكُرُونِ. In that case, Allah can mention me. Just like Allah has sent the messenger to you, فَذْكُرُونِ. So remember me. أَذْكُرُكُمْ. When you remember me, I will remember you. وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِ. And be grateful to me and don't be ungrateful. The favors of Allah on us are much. Allah wants us to remember him, to remember him, to mention him. The mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest acts of ibadah. And it is one of the things that makes a person a good Muslim. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah said, Salah makes people to avoid immoral acts, indecent acts. He said, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. But the remembrance of Allah is bigger. It makes you abstain from those things more. The remembrance of Allah. And these are things that will make somebody's scale heavy on the day of judgment. They are the barriers to salihat. That we engage in adhkar and we engage in the mention of Allah connected to the heart, not just the zikr on the tongue. The zikr that will make Allah to mention the person is the one that has a connection with the heart. فَكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me. فَكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And be grateful to me and don't be ungrateful. Many scholars, Al-Hasan al-Basri, radiallahu anhu, and most of them, they will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَذْكُرُ مَنْ ذَكَرَهُ. Allah remembers the one who remembers him. وَيَزِيدُ مَنْ شَكَرَهُ. And Allah gives more to those who are grateful to him. وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ كَفَرَهُ. And Allah punishes those who are ungrateful to him. So it is part of the greatest name of Allah that the person remembers Allah. He is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشكرون
giving gratitude to Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does you a favor, you thank Allah. You show gratitude to Allah. And the greatest favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to man is the favor of Islam. You thank Allah for that ni'mah, you worship in the more. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was given the bushra that Allah has forgiven him all his sins. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam henceforth would pray at night such that his legs would become swollen. And Ummu Aisha radiallahu anha will be asking, Ya Rasulullah, have you not been forgiven of all your sins? And he'll say, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ أَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should not then be a slave that is grateful to Allah? Meaning the more Allah does you favors, the more you worship Allah. The sign that you are grateful to Allah is you do more of ibadah. Be thankful to Allah, using acts of worship to be grateful to Allah. Then the difference between saying Alhamdulillah and using your works to prove that you are grateful for the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a slave becomes grateful to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't punish him. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs not to punish you so long as you are grateful to him. Most people who fall under the punishment of Allah and things turn over for them is because they have not been grateful to Allah. That is why Allah turns the table around and the things become upside down. Happiness becomes sorrow. Joy becomes sadness. Ease becomes hardship. Security becomes fear when people are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has done to them. Now Allah mentioned, وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. He now mentioned the other one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Because life is about two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try you. You will always be under trial. A man cannot live without trial. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Does the man think that he will just be left alone? The scholars will say, لا يُمَرُ وَلَا يُنْهَى وَلَا يُمْتَلَى. Does he think that he will not be given instructions, he will not be given orders not to do, and that he will not be tried? And the trial of Allah comes in two ways. It is either you are given, and Allah wants to see whether you be grateful, or you will not be given, and Allah wants to see whether you be patient. So this بَيْنَ الشُّكُرِ وَالصَّبْرِ. A man will always be in between shukur and sabr. Shukur and sabr. Being grateful and being patient. That is how life. Who will let adhaka wa abaka. When he makes idha, he wants you to make shukur. When he makes ibaka, he wants you to be patient. And that is how the life of believers. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ عَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That is the way the life of a Muslim is. He will always be under trial. So Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُلْ هُوَ بِالْإِيمَانِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek for Allah's help, بالصبر, through patience, والصلاة, and prayers. Observe salah. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. So this is like a tool, a key to achieving success. اسْتَعِينُوا. Seek for help. Seek for assistance. This sabr through patience was salah and abdul salah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient, those who will be tried, and they will be patient. He said, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ. And do not say to those that have been killed فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the cause of Allah, don't call them أَمْوَاتٌ, dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Rather, they are alive. بل, they call it al-idrar. And there are two types of al-idrar as mentioned by al-Imam Tajuddin al-Subki in Jam'u al-Jawami', where he was talking about proof. That the word بل is al-idrar. And there are two types of idrar. Al-idrar al-ibtali and al-idrar al-intiqali. When you say بل, it means you are cancelling what was mentioned before and you are establishing what is coming after it. لا تقول لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات. بل, though they are not أموات, أحياءٌ, they are alive. Don't say they are dead. Those that have been killed is because of Allah. They are not dead. بل احيا rather they are alive ولكن لا تشعرون, but you do not perceive their life because they are now living in a life that is not perceived in this world. There are about four levels of life. There is the alam al-barzakh or alam al-sarra, the atomic or nuclear life before we came to this world. There is a world that is a life there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Then people came to alam al-dunya. Then there is alam al-barzakh and there is alam al-akhirah. All their lives, none of them is similar to the other. So they are alive, but we do not perceive that. Ali ibn Husayn Zain al-Abidin said, إِذَا جَمْعَ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the first of this ummah and the last to come together, yunadi munadin, there is a caller that will make a call. أَيْنَ الصَّابِرُونَ, where are those who are patient? لِيَبْقُمُ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَ الْحِسَابِ, so that they can enter paradise before hisab, before reckoning will commence. Where are the patient ones? Where are they? He said, فَيَقُومُ عُلُكُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, then there will be a number of people that will stand up. فَتَتَلَقَّوْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, then the angels will meet them, فَيَقُولُونَ, they will say to them, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ, where are you going to go, the children of Adam? فَيَقُولُونَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, they will say, we are going to the paradise. فَيَقُولُونَ وَقَبْلَ الْحِسَابِ, the angels will say, you are going to paradise before hisab will commence. فَيَقُولُونَ وَقَبْلَ الْحِسَابِ, قَالُوا نَعَمْ, they will say, yes, before hisab will commence, we are going to paradise. They say, وَمَنْ أَنْتُمْ, the angels will say, who are you? قَالُوا الصَّابِرُونَ, they say, we are those who are patient. قَالُوا وَمَا كَانَ صَبْرُكُمْ, they will say, what patience did you observe? What is the patience you observe? قَالُوا صَبَرْنَا عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, they will say, we are patient to obey Allah. وَصَبَرْنَا عَمْ مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ, and we are patient not to disobey Allah. حَتَّى تَوَفَّانَ اللَّهُ, until Allah took our lives. Because there are two types of sabr, الصبر على طاعة الله والصبر عن معصية الله. That patience you have, the endurance to worship Allah and the endurance not to sin against Allah. قَالُوا أَنْتُمْ كَمَا قُلْتُ, then the angels will say, you are just like you have said, you can enter paradise from life in Allah. قال قلتم ادخلوا الجنة, then they will say enter paradise, فنعم أجر العاملين, excellent is the reward of the workers, those who work with patience. الإمام ابن كثير said, قلت ويشهد لهذا قوله تعالى, what will support this statement is the saying of Allah, إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب, Allah سبحانه وتعالى will give those who are patient their reward without account, so they are not accounted for. Ibn Kathir said, this is something that will support that. As-sabr that we are talking about here, Jama'ah, is something we must imbibe. There is nobody that we live as a Muslim, except that we have to imbibe the quality of as-sabr. As-sabr ala ta'atillah. You have to be patient to obey Allah. As-sabr an ma'asiyatillah. You have to be patient not to disobey Allah. Entering paradise, you need to work. That work entails sabr. Not falling into shahawat and the desires that will make one walk into hellfire, it requires also sabr and endurance. And then there are ibtila'at that Allah will try us with in our livelihoods, in our lives, in our wealth, in our health, like he's going to talk about. We need sabr to sail through. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. As far as the saying of Allah is concerned, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, don't say they are dead, rather they are alive. Al-Imam Muslim reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, إِنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الشُّهَدَاءِ فِي حَوَاسِ لِقَيْرٍ خُدْرٍ, the lives of the martyrs, فِي حَوَاسِ لِقَيْرٍ, are in the crops of some birds, خُدْرٍ, that are green in color, تَسْرَحُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that fly to pasture, in paradise, حَيْفُ شَاءَتْ بِيَرَبَ جَيْمِشِ, ثُمَّ تَعْوِي إِلَى قَنَادِيلَ مُعَلَّقَةٍ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ, then they will now come to stay under some lamps that are hung under the arsh of Allah. فَطَلَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ اتِّلَاعًا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at them. فَقَالَ, and he said, مَاذَا تَبْغُونَ, what do you want? You the material that are moving freely in paradise, what do you want? فَقَالُوا يَا رَبَّنَا وَأَيِّ شَيْءٍ نَبْغِي, they said, oh our Lord, what else would we want? وَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْطِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْخَلْقِ, you have given to us what you have not given to anybody amongst your creatures. ثُمَّ عَادَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِمِثْلِ هَذَا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repeat the same statements to them. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُتْرَكُونَ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْأَلُوا. When they saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow them, they will keep on asking them that question. قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَنْ تَرُدَّنَا إِلَى الدَّارِ الدُّنْيَا. They said, we want you to return us back to the world. فَنُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِكَ. So that we'll fight in your cause. حَتَّى نُقْتَلَ فِيكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. So that we can be killed for your sake for the second time. لِمَا يَرَوْنَ مِنْ ثَوَابِ الشَّهَادَةِ. This is because of what we see of the reward of Matayadu. فَيَقُولُ رَبُّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, إِنِّي كَتَبْتُ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهَا لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. I have already decreed that nobody will come out of the world and go back to it. So this is to show the value and the virtues of those who attain Matayadam in Islam. And this is one of the fundamental, the core, one of the core motivations of jihad in Islam, that Allah made the price of Matayadam to be very, very high. There is no price, there is no reward that is like the reward of Matayadam. And that is why, as far as the companions were concerned, they wanted nothing in their lives except Matayadam. And that Matayadam is the secret of the success of the military of the Muslims. All the Muslim conquests they had, the secret was because they wanted Matayadam and nothing else. So they feared no one. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to them, when he saw their resilience, their endurance, Prophet ﷺ said to them, يُوشِكُ أَن تَتَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَتَدَاعَ الْأَقْلَةُ إِلَىٰ فَصَعَتِهَا. It is very soon that nations will converge against you and lay siege on you. And they will converge against you the way hungry men would converge to want to eat a plate of food. And the companion said, أَوَ مِنْ إِلَّةِ النَّحْنِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is it because you are going to be very few in number on that day, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ? The Prophet said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. Rather, you are going to be much. You are not going to be few. But you are going to be كَبُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. Like the trash that is carried by a running water. You are going to be dependent. You are never going to be independent. You are going to be worthless. You are going to have no say. كَبُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. The way the trash has no place of stopping. It does not decide where it stops. It does not do anything. It does not have anything. It only follows. The Prophet says, that is how you are going to be. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ لِكُمْ. Allah will remove that haiba, that fear that your enemies have for you. Allah will remove it from their hearts. وَلَيَبْرِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنَى. And Allah will throw wahn into your hearts. When that time comes, you will have wahn. And the companions said, وَمَا الْوَحْنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Wahn means weakness. But the companions were asking that wahn that will affect our hearts, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is it? The Prophet said, حُبُّ الدُّنِيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The love for dunya and the dislike for death. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had nothing. Basically nothing. There are some of them that had the whole of their wealth carried on the back of their horses and camels. That is all he has in his life. He carries it behind his camel. So when he moves to the battlefield, he's not thinking of the investment he has at home. He does not care how many... he has not built a glass house, so he's not afraid of throwing stones. That is the meaning of Al-Wahan. They had little as far as the world was concerned. So they were able to sacrifice everything. The moment people get engrossed in what they think, then حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ sets in. The shuhada have a great prize with Allah. It is Allah that bought their lives. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Allah said, he is the one that bought the lives of the Matayad. So Matayad, as far as Islam is concerned, although people mock it nowadays, they say they want to attain Matayad. Matayad is a fundamental philosophy as far as Islam is concerned. And anybody that knows Islam and knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would wish to have Matayad. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who has never sort of having shahada, but either they having elements of nifaq, that you cannot give your soul out for Allah, you cannot sacrifice your life for Allah, then there is a problem. It means the person does not really believe in Allah. But one should be able to give everything he has for the sake of Allah. Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Don't say to them, they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءً. Rather, they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُوا. But you that are alive do not perceive their life. So he said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ خَوْفٍ. But because of time, inshallah, we are going to stop here. We pray that it will have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial to us. وَصَلِ اللَّهُ وَسَلِّمُ وَبَارِكَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, the question is whether, since we said the Quran is the cure for physical illness and spiritual illness, that we have established so many times. Now the question is, somebody was doing Ruqya and he recited many parts of the Quran and there were no manifestations until he recited this verse, أَيْنَمَا تَقُونُ يَأْتِلِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, which means wherever you are, Allah will bring all of you. So it's like wherever the jinns have hidden in her, they will come and they be manifested. Is there any connection between that and the verse? Yes, scholars will use meanings like this. Scholars will use connections like this for showing and for different purposes. Different purposes. When a verse has a meaning, sometimes the scholars might just use that meaning to perform a function that is connected to that meaning. Like in this case, he feels that, okay, she's possessed, but they have not manifested, and he read, أَيْنَمَا تَقُولُوا يَأْتِمُكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. إِنْ تَقُولُوا إِذْ قَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَبْدَةٍ فَتَقُولُوا فِي سَقَبْتَ أَوْفِي سَمَوَاتِ أَوْفِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ. This verse is like this, means some, when something is sought for, some scholars will use such verses to preach that Allah should bring it back. Sometimes maybe somebody is missing or things like that, they can use this verse to pray. An example is the verse in Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلِنُ الْبَيْنِ أَجِيهِمْ فَدْهُمْ بِقَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّ فَعَبْشَيْنَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُسِرُونَ. Scholars will use it to pray that Allah would make somebody who wants to harm him not to see him. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi mentioned when he was doing tafsir of وَإِذَا قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, when you recite the Quran, جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. We place between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter, we place between you an invisible shield. And so this verse and the verse of Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ سَدًّا, and some other verses, he said, I used this verse when angels were attacked. Even Al-Imam al-Qutubi said, I ran for my life and two soldiers chased me. He said, I got to a place that was flat. There were no residents, it was a plain ground. And I bent down and I started reciting this verse of the Quran. He said, and those two soldiers came and passed in front of me, and they didn't cite me, and they went back. He said, because these are things that scholars will use, or they use the Quran in means like this, sometimes to cure different ailments based on the connections with divinity. So even there is no hadith or ayah connected to that, but the fact that the meaning is connected to what you wanted, he used another to argue his results.
الله تعالى أحب
وعبادات ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وفي عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا ارحم الراحمين يا رحم الضعفاء والفقراء والغرباء والمساكين انزل رحمتك علينا وعلى والدينا وعلى سائر المسلمين الموحدين في كل مكان وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين